information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
On fence.
The law.
And obey.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Some terrorist thing just to steal some money out of Congress?
Their arrest was only the beginning.
We are being lied to by
the government. They were innocent. They have no idea what they're up against.
Desert skies kept me dry from the city rain. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to Media Monarchy. It's November 18th, 2011, episode 239. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, New Mexico notes, news purge, desert skies and lights, snake handling scandals in Sandusky on Holy Hexes, war games and the wildest dreams on cyberspace war, pretentious business success on Food World Order, plus a ton of clips, a ton of music, so very much more, friends. November 18th, 2011, episode 239 from MediaMonarchy.com.
Whoa, whoa, slow down there, maestro. There's a New Mexico.
And now, fellas, I'd like you to meet a grand old trooper. This generation loves him as dearly as the last two did. That lovable old singer of songs, Bing Crosby, right?
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that's gonna sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the smoke horizon round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Here she comes.
Hey, Jim, you better get out the rig. Cause she's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts down to Brown's Hotel. Cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Santa Fe. Always get me good accommodation.
Well, do they really?
Yes, I had a room all to myself going east.
Good.
Funny thing, though, the porter locked me in at every station. Never been on that station.
I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that's gonna sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the smoke arising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Here she comes.
Hey, Jim, you better get out the rig. says she's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts down to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. The good old 80 and the Santa Fe.
I better get out the rig. On the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, Bing Crosby live with Bob Hope, 1946. It won an Oscar for the film The Harvey Girls. But enough about that, and we'll get more about Santa Fe, but welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's November 18th, 2011, episode 239 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, and all the other connected sites within the kingdom. And we took last week off. We were off the grid, essentially. We'll get to that. So even taking 1 week off sometimes, it's hard to get back into the swing of things, and there's so very much to go over. Never a good time to step away from the news the way things are going at an accelerated pace, as we have documented for you here now over 5 years, live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.com. And of course, a huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com and RevereRadio.net for simulcasting this show live, both on the web and terrestrially and otherwise. KDXRadio.com, thanks to them and all the other alternative media outlets that help rebroadcast and spread the word about the site and show. RadioForAll.net is where you can get the low-quality audio-only streams. Archive.org has our high-quality, low-quality video everything feed, and it's all linked up for you as well. Face, Space, Twitter, Tube, Tumblr, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, you name it, it's Media Monarchy as your keyword or username. And while we were away, a huge thanks to Ryan in Phoenix and Dave in the UK, both for their long time and generous and amazingly awesome support of Media Monarchy. And I'll implore you, if you've never clicked the button, we appreciate it. We are non-corporate, one-man band, independent, alternative media outlet. And we also have P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon, 97212. And again, these things are all linked up, all spelled out, all laid out on the flagship site, MediaMonarchy.com. As we always do on these shows, we leave the breaking Google News window open to see what's happening. Yes, of course, we could probably get more real-time news from Twitter, but we'll do that later. Interestingly enough, the biggest story in the world right now, yacht captain blames Robert Wagner for Natalie Wood's death, reopening the case after 30 years. Meanwhile, FDA revokes approval of Avastin for breast cancer. 11 killed in Syria. Crowds urge end to military rule in Egypt. We have a plane crash killing women's sports coaches. As we will essentially see as we go through all of this, it's either implicitly or explicitly, like Bill Hicks talked about, all our institutions are failing because they're no longer relevant. But it's now becoming massively apparent, as everyone's favorite religion of sports falling apart, plane crashes, sex abuse, strikes, money, all that garbage all coming to the fore. You see it in the celebrity world, in the reality world, in the money, in the divorces, in the shows, in the murder. And we see it in the churches with the sex abuse and the money and the murder. We see it in our schools. The teachers are afraid of the pupils, if you will. And we see it in our financial sectors with the lies and the money and the murder. All the institutions systematically have been falling apart on purpose, on design, as has been written about and documented in books and documents we were never really supposed to read by families that have been interconnected and interbred for now centuries, that have always sought to occult the knowledge and keep it for themselves and tell us, live every day like it's your last. Meanwhile, they have plans. And they took the tools. And they keep them amongst themselves. And in a way, we can see the communications. And because of the web, because of the new Gutenberg revolution, we have been able to discover these things and talk about them and share them. So some kid from southern West Virginia can do college radio for a while and then move to Portland, Oregon and start a show that then has hundreds and then thousands of people listening and sharing. So as long as the satellites stay in the sky, we're going to continue to do that. And we see the elites and we see their moves. And that's what we've been trying to tell folks, whether it's about 9/11 truth or food truth or any of it, over these at least 10 years as far as current history and my own involvement in my own path on that. We see all the institutions falling apart in front of us, but we have to wonder what that is the setup for. Your sports are screwed. Your religions are corrupt. Your financial institutions are bankrupt. It all falls apart. What would be the replacement? Are these all being destroyed on purpose to prepare us to accept some new massive one world system? Coming from whether or not some staged, real, or otherwise event from beyond. But all you got to do is look at what Nazis said when we brought them over. Is it all coming down on purpose? And are we all seeing it? And is it all playing out like a show? It sure seems that way, my friends. And what we try and do on Media Monarchy is document all these things that we see. I've always had a knack for, I suppose you could call it media curation. The synchronicities and the lists and the playlists and the connections and how it all weaves. And that's really what I want to try and do with the site and show, is put all those things that we see in our world, in our art, in our media, in our politics, and they're all imitating each other, and we're all trying to read it and figure it out. The connections and those synchro-mystic events are really what drive all of this. And I'm not trying to tell you to do anything, not telling you to join any groups. It doesn't cost any money. We just want the revelation. We want the ideas to come forth. And if I can be some small part of that through this sharing, through this outlet, talking about news, playing records, and all those other things that as any kind of amateur, novice researcher slash radio host. If we can make some good out of all of this, then it's all totally worth it. And we're going to have a hell of a ride doing it. So I suppose that's my opening, returning ramble. But I digress. Let's get right to what happened last week. We were off the grid. We made the post about it. We were going out of town essentially when the EAS test was going down. Remember about that? It's already gone. The Emergency Alert System test, the first nationwide testing, was apparently performed on 11/9. But we were going out of town to visit family. And as we heard Mr. Burns at the top there, there's a New Mexico? Yes. So as many of you may or may not know, we went off the grid last week. And yes, we did discover some Wi-Fi by the second day. Remember, folks, don't make your password the same thing as your username. So, we did find some Wi-Fi, but I stuck to my internet fast for the most part. But I took a bunch of notes on some of the interesting things that I saw and discovered and thought of or had happened to or witnessed while visiting family in Taos, New Mexico. So, first off, we saw Shirley MacLaine at the Santa Fe Airport. And she was wearing a big jacket that said Ghetto Blaster on the back. But I saw her. I was 99% sure it was her. She was talking to some of the people behind the desk at the very small and quaint Santa Fe Airport. And after she walked away, I kind of mouthed to one of the people. Was that Shirley MacLaine? They're like, yep. There is a pretty cool radio station there called K-TAO, K-T-A-O for Taos, T-A-O-S, New Mexico. K-TAO, 101.9 FM. It's solar powered. So I was listening to that station for the emergency alert system test to happen, but guess what? They didn't participate. And I had contacted them the week before saying, hey, I'm going to be in town. I do a radio show, Portland Radio Authority. I'd like to come watch while you guys do this test. Never heard anything about it, so maybe now we see why. They didn't seem to participate at all. But we did, in our preparation for this, episode 239, we did go grab what it sounded like in another city.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. The message you are hearing is part of a nationwide live code test of emergency alert system capabilities. This test message has been initiated by National Alert and Warning Authorities in coordination with emergency alert system participants, including broadcast, cable, satellite, and wireline participants in your area. Had this been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been followed by emergency information, news, or instruction. This is only a test. We now return you to regular programming.
All right, that is the first ever nationwide test of the emergency alert system. Again, it was only a test. We now rejoin our regularly scheduled programming.
So there's the YouTube link for you. You can watch and listen to that. But K-TAL didn't participate, and apparently they weren't the only ones. So I saw this article a couple days later from the Farmington Times, Daily Times, daily-times.com. out of Farmington, New Mexico. If the President of the United States wanted to address the country during an emergency, most New Mexicans wouldn't hear it. The first nationwide test of the country's emergency alert system was scheduled for noon Wednesday, Mountain Time, but the emergency message was not delivered to New Mexico, said Nick Piatek, spokesman for the New Mexico Department of Homeland Security. KOB in Albuquerque was supposed to receive 30-second emergency messages from the federal government for TV and radio broadcasts and distribute the messages across the state. All television and radio stations were going to air the message simultaneously. Cobb never received the messages. KOB never received the messages. It was a total failure, said the San Juan County emergency manager, Don Cooper. We're not ready. What I read into this is that the feds are not ready. If the president wanted everybody to know something, we're not ready for that to happen. The FCC, FEMA, and NOAA organized the drill and were expected to transmit the message around the country. At this time, it appears the gap occurred at the origin of the message, not at the local levels, Piatek said. The failure of the emergency alert drill was on the federal government's part, not the state. There was no immediate explanation for why New Mexico did not receive the emergency message. The article goes on, but I found that quite interesting, as again, we were in a pretty secluded area. Meanwhile, while that is going on, they are apparently working on something called the Taos Regional Command Communication Center, brought to you, of course, by Homeland Security and the local, quote-unquote, power company, Kit Carson. KitCarson.com is the main power website. KitCarson.net is their internet provider site, and it's basically looks to be a consolidation of emergency power and communication services. And of course, quote from the literature that we do have linked up for you, this system will also be responsible for monitoring cybersecurity tied to smart grid and green grid systems. So what did we basically just paint? In fact, they didn't get this message at the federal level, but on the local level, they're going to say, oh, we need more cooperation. We need to put all of our facilities into one room. What could possibly go wrong? So, heading back on the 11th, 11, 11, 11, our plane out of Santa Fe was delayed, which made us miss our connection at LAX. And then what do I see? An article about the airline we used from allgov.com. Department of Transportation issues first fine against airline for tarmac delay. A subsidiary of American Airlines this week became the first in the industry to be penalized by the federal government for making passengers endure lengthy delays on an airport tarmac. The U.S. Department of Transportation fined American Eagle $900,000 for keeping 608 passengers on board 15 different flights for more than 3 hours at Chicago O'Hare International Airport in May. Flying the friendly skies. And while we were flying on American Eagle, anytime you would pretty much get set and get locked in, you would always hear the same song. I hope Keen made a lot of money licensing Everybody's Changing to Alaska Airlines, but that song used to kind of mean something to me, and that's the hard part about seeing art you like sold out for multinational corporations. And we'll address that a little bit later, again, in this episode. Keen, Everybody's Changing, 2004, Hopes and Fears.
Yep. beautiful life. 'Cause everybody's changing and I don't feel right.
Everybody's changing. I was playing that back at the college radio station I used to be the music director for, WSHC 89.7 in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, back in 2004 when I didn't maybe quite know it at that moment, but my 10-year run in Shepherdstown was drawing to a close, and it seemed as though everybody was changing and everybody was moving away, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. So yeah, they played that song a bunch on American Eagle Airlines. LAX. Quite the poop hole, my friends. I was surprised. However, the Council on Foreign Relations magazine Foreign Affairs was prominently displayed for sale at the Newport News store in the Los Angeles International Airport. And I had my first chance to opt out of the radioactive naked body scanners at LAX, the first time I'd ever run into them. So instead, I got felt up by a very nice gentleman. He didn't even tell me his name. It was around this time that I remember that it was Veterans Day, and that's why it was so crowded. And we were reminded once again that it was Veterans Day by the fine folks at Heinz Ketchup, when we went to go have a drink in a crappy bar at LAX, and the ketchup bottle had a printed label that said, "Now it's our turn to serve," in honor of our veterans. I also drove a car for the first time in a decade from Santa Fe to Towson back again a week later. Also saw some amazing petroglyphs, drawings, carvings on rocks. And when we were stuck at LAX, I was kind of aggro, and I went outside and recorded a little 15-minute blip that I thought I was going to post up and maybe do as a B-side or whatever, and ultimately, no, because it kind of sounded like this.
It reaches that anger point, but there was no payoff. I didn't get to tell anybody to f*** off. I didn't get to yell and scream or curse anybody out or do any of that.
So, yeah. We'll keep that one in the archives. So thank you for indulging me, my friends, on all those bits about going off the grid, going to visit Taos, New Mexico. But we returned, and as we're slowly getting back into the groove of things, of course, the 91st episode of The New World Next Week, newworldnextweek.com. It's a weekly video series between myself and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. We've been doing it now for over 2 years. And the stories, we always go over three stories. That's the format, 15 minutes, three stories. Story number one, super globalist to replace Italy's Berlusconi. That's Super Mario Monti. and he has now been sworn in as Italy's new prime minister. Meanwhile, Greece's Papademos wins confidence vote on austerity measures. Papademos may be translating to Pope of the People. Story number two, surprise, surprise, Homeland Security helped coordinate the Occupy Wall Street crackdowns we have seen in the past week in Occupy Portland and all around the country and all around the world. The police state versus Occupy Wall Street, this is not going to end well for any of us. Those articles from the economiccollapseblog.com and washingtonsblog.com. And our third story, Durban Climate Summit will be bigger than the World Cup. That story from James Corbett's own climategate.tv. And we have linked up all the things for you to get. New World next week, high quality, low quality, video, audio only, all that and so very much more. NewWorldNextWeek.com. And we have the two latest episodes as well as all the other related audio, video, interviews, and other media from the hardest working man in independent alternative media, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Episode 207, more Patriot mythology. Did lucky Larry Silverstein admit to blowing up World Trade Center 7 in front of documentary cameras? Did Benazir Bhutto say that Omar Sheikh murdered Osama bin Laden? And just who was responsible for World Trade Center 1993 after all? Find out in episode 207 of The Corbett Report as they go in search of the truth wherever it might lead. This is a continuation of a previous episode on Patriot mythology. Latest videos posted along with 207 CIA front companies, James Corbett on The Alex Jones Show, and Iceland's debt and the people's revolt with Michael Hudson on Global Research TV. Meanwhile, an exclusive interview with Daniel Estulin. Episode 208, The Galton Institute Exposed. Remember those families I was referring to at the top of the episode? Although it formally changed its name from the British Eugenics Society to the Galton Institute in 1989, eugenics by any other name would smell just as rotten. Episode 208 peeks behind the curtain of the birthplace of eugenics and interrogates the inbred line of British gentry who believe themselves to be of superior stock. The latest videos and audios posted along with this episode 208, Fukushima update from November 8th, the perfect storm of internet censorship, and the G20 financial globalization, a Global Research TV backgrounder, as well the monthly interview and appearance from Bob Chapman of the internationalforecaster.com. And there is a comment here that asks, why call all this a eugenics agenda when eugenics was concerned with improving the human race, making it more intelligent, strong, fit, etc.? And when you guys discuss a general process of dumbing down, poisoning, fostering of dependency, etc., all of which seems more like a dysgenic program? Thanks. And yes, you're right. All semantics. My man, Clyde Lewis of groundzeromedia.org. I'll just say right here, I'm sorry I hadn't gotten in touch with you more effectively. When we were sitting in LAX and we finally had phone reception again and our phones popped up with the bleep, bleep, bloop and the things that we missed. I had an interesting phone call. I got two. One from, the first one from Clyde saying he got an interesting letter about the UARS satellite, if you'll recall a few weeks ago, the satellite that was going to crash on Earth, and they didn't know where, and then suddenly, oh, we lost it. Maybe it crashed here in the Pacific Northwest. So being away for a week, I have double the size of all the amazing articles, episodes, as well, behind-the-scenes videos, Ground Zero TV, Bad Reception, Hope for Autonomy, Be Silent and Listen, Something Wicked This Way Comes, Frozen Lies, A Message from YU55, Lucifer's Hammer, Contact Has to Begin, Monolith Force Determining the Aftermath of a Chaotic Causal Relationship, Apex 11, 11, 11, Functional Insurrection, The High Cost of Mammon, The Frog Meets the Scorpion, and This is What a Police State Looks Like, Looking Through Eyes Darkly. Those are the titles of the articles and the episodes and the behind-the-scenes videos, and you can listen and subscribe to Clyde Lewis at KXL News weeknights, 9 to midnight Pacific time here in Portland, Oregon, worldwide on the web, and we will rejoin forces with Clyde Lewis to discuss the satellites and the police states and so very much more very soon, my friends. So that was the not-so-brief blast through the amazing alternative media that we're proud enough to be associated with in any way, shape, or form. And again, the idea with all of this is that if you find that this art and communication enriches your life, please click a button and show some ducats. But it's not all about that. It's ultimately just about being able to do this and pay for the domain names and get the Skype credit and pay the DJ dues and, oh crap, new headphones, any of that stuff. But I don't want to digress off into that. Our last post on MediaMonarchy.com for this week on episode 239 is the massive news purge. It's the 11/17 news purge, desert skies, desert lights, and we'll take a breath before we get into it with a breath of fresh air from the Beechwood Sparks, desert skies. Desert Skies from the self-titled debut album from the Beechwood Sparks from the year 2000 on Sub Pop Records. Desert Skies, that's how we're going to begin the 11/17 news purge here on episode 239 from MediaMonarchy.com. All the headlines we collected while we were away and when we got back. And so many of these things, as else throughout this episode, are thanks to all the other folks sending news tips. MediaMonarchy@gmail.com or at MediaMonarchy on Twitter, or any way you can get in touch with me to share any kind of information. We can't always respond, but it is always appreciated. We'll begin the news purge, as we always do, seemingly with 9/11 updates. From the New York Times, as 9/11 remains are identified, grief is renewed. New remains being identified all the time, reopening the wounds to the victims' families again and again and again. And why are they always finding remains? Because the remains were pulverized in buildings that were aerosolized. Meanwhile, the Family Guys pushing the envelope. Did they finally go too far this time with their 9/11 gag?
No! Okay, I get it. Stewie, I screwed up. All right, I shouldn't have altered the past, but is there anything we can do?
Well, the only way to fix this is to return to the moment when we first arrived in the past and stop you from spilling the beans about 9/11.
Okay, let's do it.
Whoa, ass ahoy.
All right, look, there we are.
Hey, Peter, it's 7 o'clock and you've still got your pants on. What's the occasion?
Stop, both of you!
What the hell? Who are you?
We're you from the future.
Oh, boy, this can't be good news. Who screwed up? Take a wild guess.
What did I do? Well, nothing yet, but listen, whatever you do, you cannot tell your former self, that Brian, about 9/11. If you do, America as you know it will cease to exist.
My God, Brian, what the hell? We've been here 2 minutes, and already you've destroyed America.
Okay, I promise I won't say anything.
Also, if you don't give that Stewie a back rub, it really messes everything up.
All right, can we go now? Did that do it? Did we restore the past?
Well, let's check. 9/11. Oh, there it is. We did it, Brian. We made 9/11 happen. High five!
All right, high five!
Well, that probably wouldn't look very good out of context.
While traveling through time, Stewie and Brian stop the events of 9/11 from occurring, only to find that by doing so, they've set off a chain of events that includes a civil war in a post-apocalyptic America. The two ultimately decide that they must go back in time once more to make sure the tragic events unfold just as they did 10 years ago. Let it happen, they conclude, which resulted in the two high-fiving one another. Predictive programming in you, my friends. Penn State, college football's 9/11. That's from the Washington Post. All of these trauma-based schemes all have to be connected to one another in the masses' minds. And our final note came from a listener. It's on WACLA.org, WeAreChangeLA.org, as well, CitizenInvestigationTeam.com. It is CIT's Craig Ranke versus Anthony Summers on the 9/11 Pentagon debate. But we're going to move on to our BioWars EnviroHealth updates. U.S. government confirms link between quakes and fracking. This article from oilprice.com gets into all of the recent earthquakes we've seen, whether it's Virginia or Nebraska or Oklahoma and any of the other bizarre earth events that have been taking place, seemingly bizarre, when we don't have all the story. The EPA has a long history of releasing news on Fridays, when the public is least likely to pay attention. That, as well, so many of these other articles and headlines that we're going to go over in this news purge come from allgov.com, and I've also taken the liberty of just adding their feed to my Twitter feed, so whatever they post, I tweet it out. Gulf toxicology report accuses BP and the Coast Guard of killing birds and threatening news helicopters. The question, why is Obama spending $433 million on an experimental smallpox drug when the last case was in 1949? Again, what are they preparing for? What are they preparing us for? And then lastly, what are we preparing for? We've seen the articles recently. We brought them to your attention about the Obama administration pushing Big Pharma to come up. We need new, better, faster drugs. We need to kickstart this industry. Never looking, at, of course, at any type of preventative action, because that's not how we roll in gangster land. Our last BioWars EnviroHealth note. Obama pushes ahead with $6 billion plutonium lab in New Mexico. Despite lacking what critics say is a clear purpose or mission, the Department of Energy is planning to invest $6 billion in building a new plutonium facility at the nation's leading scientific lab, Los Alamos National Laboratory. And I drove past it last week. We move on down to the drug war. Mexico sours on drug war. That's from nationalinterest.org. Billions of dollars, thousands of deaths. That's the Deutsche Press Agency on Mexico's drug war. The UPI reports journalists documenting and reporting drug war despite all of the risks. And finally, from the International Business Times, IBTimes.com, a bizarre drug war erupts in remote Nepal. A bizarre murder trial in Nepal has led to the conviction of six men who received life sentences in prison. The court found the men guilty of having murdered seven others who were fighting over Yarzagumba, a fungus that grows into the mummified body of a bat moth caterpillar and is highly prized as an aphrodisiac. It's been hailed as the Himalayan Viagra. The photo's bizarre. It reminds me of horror movies and From Beyond and the pineal gland. And that's essentially what all that stuff is. Remember in District 9, he wants to eat the aliens. I want that power. But let's not digress. Let's get into Econo Crash, where there's a whole other world of alchemical magic going on. Banks quietly ramping up consumer fees. That's from the New York Times, so it can't be all that quiet. We're just continue to go along with it. Although, one of the positive points of Occupy is getting people to dump the big banks and go to a credit union, if they have one. Meanwhile, the number of uninsured and untreated Americans grow, but the U.S. gives millionaires $30 billion a year in tax breaks and payments. BusinessInsider.com notes that we have entered the first of four phases that will destroy fiat money. Obama calls on Europe to back the euro. And finally, again, thanks to listeners and again, all the folks who send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. We discussed Italy, we discussed the EU, and we discussed Greece a bit a few minutes ago, and as well on the latest episode 91 of NewWorldNextWeek.com. But let's break it down a little further on Greece and the ESM.
Are the European Union and its common currency facing a crisis? What can and should be done? The EU is planning a new treaty called the European Stability Mechanism, or ESM, a treaty of debt. Members of Parliament all have access to the draft legislation. The authorized capital stock shall be 700 billion euros. Question, why 700 billion? Where did that number come from? And by whom and on what basis was it calculated? ESM members hereby irrevocably and unconditionally undertake to pay on demand any capital call made on them within 7 days of receipt of such demand. Question. Nothing, really. That part is clear. If the ESM needs money, we have 7 days to pay. Taking normal bank processing times into account, that means we have 4 days to write a check. But what does irrevocably and unconditionally mean? What if we have a new parliament, one that doesn't want to transfer money to the ESM? Do we have to pay anyway? The Board of Governors may decide to change the authorized capital and amend Article 8 accordingly. Question. Pardon me? 700 billion is just the beginning? The ESM can stock up the fund as much as it wants to, anytime it wants to, and we would then be required, under Article 9, to irrevocably and unconditionally pay up? The ESM shall have full legal capacity to institute legal proceedings. The ESM, its property, funding, and assets shall enjoy immunity from every form of judicial process. Question. So the ESM program can sue us, but we can't challenge it in court? The property, funding, and assets of the ESM shall be immune from search, requisition, confiscation, expropriation, or any other form of seizure, taking, or foreclosure by executive, judicial, administrative, or legislative action. Question. Immune from judicial action was covered in the last point, but this means neither our governments, nor our legislatures, nor any of our democratic laws have any effect on the ESM organization? That's a pretty powerful treaty. Governors, alternate governors, directors, alternate directors, the managing director, and staff members shall be immune from legal process with respect to acts performed by them and shall enjoy inviolability in respect to their official papers and documents. Question. So anyone involved in the ESM is off the hook? They can't be held accountable for anything? And does the inviolability of their papers mean we can't destroy them, or that we won't even be allowed to see what's been written? Treaty establishes a new intergovernmental organization to which we are required to transfer unlimited assets within 7 days if it so requests. An organization that can sue us but is immune from all forms of prosecution and whose managers enjoy the same immunity. There are no independent reviewers and no existing laws apply. Governments cannot take action against it. Europe's national budgets in the hands of one single unelected intergovernmental organization? Is that the future of Europe? Is that the new EU? A Europe devoid of sovereign democracies? Is that what you want?
No, we do not want inbred elites occulting and hiding away the real, the resources, the knowledge, and giving us the fake and the simulacra and the debt. If you go watch that video, it may spell it out a little bit better for you on Greece and the ESM and the EU at large. So we move to our geopolitics updates. Socializing losses. Hey, weren't we just mentioning that? The trilateral takeover of Europe. This is an original article on RT.com Russia Today from Adrian Salbucci. And we want to remind you from Oxford Ed History on Twitter that November 5th was the anniversary of the first meeting of the League of Nations in 1920. Berlusconi resigns as prime minister amid Italian debt crisis. That goes back a little ways, but again, my friends, we are cleaning up all the news in this news purge that we missed while we were away. Israel government denies cyber attack, says malfunction brought down websites. That's from Haaretz, and we'll touch that again when we get to cyberspace war. Iran loses top missile expert in explosions. Was Israel behind a deadly explosion at Iranian missile base? Time magazine asking the question, was Israel behind a deadly explosion at an Iranian missile base? And we also have Global Post asking the same question. Did Israel attack Iran? Police sees the biggest Rio slum as the World Cup cleanup begins. The World Cup coming to Rio in 2014. They're, of course, sweeping away all of the undesirables. But that's not all they're prepping around the world for. As again, we referenced on the latest New World next week. The Guardian reports ground-to-air missiles could be deployed at the London 2012 Olympics, where the minister says all necessary security measures will be taken. Cost for security soars beyond £282 million estimated, and the U.S. has increasing concerns over safety for 2012. Just as they always said, we never imagined they could fly planes into buildings as weapons, but they deployed surface-to-air missiles at the Genoa G meetings pre-9/11, and we see it again, yes, at the upcoming 2012 Olympics. Another listener submission is a video for you. You have to go check it out. There's a lot of text and not much that I can play for you right here, but it gets into the predictive programming and the speculation that have surrounded all of the large, catalyzing, catastrophic terror, quote-unquote, events. And this clip gets into what we may be seeing prepping for 100,000 to die by a nuke at the London 2012 Olympics. So, as long as we're in the UK, we'll move to history mystery as we discover the Queen's hidden cousins. The Daily Mail reports they were banished to an asylum in 1941 and left neglected until now, when an intriguing documentary reveals all. And the other history mystery note at the time, I added it to the News Purge. Like I said, I didn't realize it was going to become the most important story in the world as we now look back and see it still on the top of Google News. Robert Wagner waited hours to call the Coast Guard after Natalie Wood vanished, Captain says. And when we get home, we'll have to bust open our three-volume set of Peter Lavenda's Indispensable Sinister Forces to see what we can pull up about Natalie Wood. Of course, all the three main principal stars of Rebel Without a Cause all died premature, violent deaths. Which I suppose brings up the specter of the Hollywood. Oh yeah, when we were flying, I saw the Hollywood sign on the Hollywood Hills. So that was kind of neat. I'd never actually seen it with my own eyes. But you know, Hollywood, that was the branch that the magicians used. They're casting a spell. So as we move to our media meme updates, an amazing one. And we get a lot of great stuff from BrassCheckTV.com with the daily updates in the email. So if you ever had any doubt that the media is controlled, it takes another late night comedy show to lay it out for you.
Talk show host Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be able to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on his late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope once again on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien is looking to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be preparing to push the late night envelope.
God bless. We've got to. God bless our media.
We've got to get an envelope.
Yeah.
Now that's a media monarchy. We discussed way back in the archives in 2006 and 7 on this show, fake news. Now that clip, which you can watch, it's all different news from all around the country. It's not just Fox. It's all of them. It comes down from on high. The media is controlled. What's it called? Television programming. But you guys know that. So we referenced selling your songs to corporations in the dicey area of looking too close at the artists whose work you admire. This blew up on Twitter. It came from the Daily Mail. Morrissey allows the Smiths cover for a Christmas ad.
Good times for a change. See the luck I've had. Could make a good man turn bad. So for once in my life, let me get what I need. Oh no, it would be the first time. Lord knows, it would be the first time. Please, 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 let me first time.
Now that's a cover of the Smiths song, Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want, that was done for a Christmas advertisement in the UK for some company I've never heard of called John Lewis. But I know the Smiths and Morrissey have let that song, it's on the Pretty in Pink soundtrack, and they even do some weird cover instrumental version of it in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and those are the two that your super nerd host knows off the top of his head, so there may be more. So, as long as we're discussing this, we'll also make a brief mention on Woody Allen Revealed, an American Masters documentary illuminates the elusive genius. That's from the Washington Post. PBS running a new 3-hour documentary starting this weekend, which I'm excited to check out. But again, I like Woody Allen, I like Morrissey, I like Orson Welles. I don't think many of our artists will stand up to the scrutiny of their private lives, because for the most part, they're all a bunch of womanizing weirdo bastards. I just like the art. Netflix subscribers offered pennies in a class action payout from Walmart. Meanwhile, down the death reel here in our media meme updates, my friends, it seemed like, you know, they come in threes. We referenced, I believe, on this show, the death of Andy Rooney. But we also have a Wizard of Oz munchkin. Carl Slover dies at the age of 93. Meanwhile, Bill Keane, creator of the Craptastic Family Circus comic strip, dead at the age of 89. Smokin' Joe Frazier, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world, dead at the age of 67. And I saw a photo in the newspaper that showed Muhammad Ali attending his funeral, and it made me go, oh, damn, Muhammad Ali is still alive? And lastly, iconic 90s rapper Heavy D dies at the age of 44. And the song I always remember is, I Got Nothing But Love For You, Baby.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing
honey?
But love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, whatever.
I know you want lots of jewels and stuff. Backyards with swimming pools, bars with stools and stuff, fancy foods. Lobster, sushi, yeah, Versace, Gucci, crazy Lucci. I know your ammo, you do demo on a paycheck. You get a herd from the bourbon, show them no respect. Middle name, price tag, first name, gotcha. Start a smoke, got on a roll, now they can't stop ya. Talking about, hey, boo, how you do? Some clown uptown said you ran through his crew. I give you props and your credit cause it's due. But I ain't that clown and my crew ain't that crew. Times too hard to be faking like I'm dating on some staking. Dining and dining, I ain't tricking on no chicken. Leave it up to me, I close the whole damn store on you. I got nothing but love for you.
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got? I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, what
you got? But I'm your H-E-A-V, Y-D, don't test me, don't ask me for nothing, for Nathan's, for Jack, for Doodly Squad, you can do me not, you plan on plotting on who be hot and trying to hit the slot. I know your low pro style, your low ho profile, kick a brother in the gut and then you smile. I must admit, I really dig your operation, every time we on the phone, you got the sexy conversation. So now you hope to be the woman of my dream, and while I'm sleeping, you be creeping, robbing me clean. I see you hanging on the corners with the rest of your girl crew, standing by the gutter with your booty cutters, so who's the honey dip, down with the bunny grip. Always got a plan and a scam to get some money quick. Always getting with the next man, the one with the checks and setting up the trap with the sex.
I got nothing but love for you, baby. What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, what
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, what
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah, what
I got nothing but love for you, baby.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Yeah,
Skeeter, that's that Noxema girl.
Help me get my groove on.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Jump, yeah. Don't know about that. Don't know about that. It's the jump, yeah. Don't know about that. Don't know about that.
fly when you caught my eye, you made me stutter. You come around with your curls and your pretty pearls. Even been around the world, so you go, girl. But where's the love at? Tell me where's the hugs at? Acting like a rugrat, I know where you're bugged at. Don't try to gas me, girl, I know the streets well. You're money hungry and you make a trick or treat sell. So leave it up to me, I close the whole damn store on you. I got nothing but love. I got nothing but love for you, baby.
What you got?
I got nothing but love for you, honey.
Nothing But Love from the fifth and final and title track of the last album from Heavy D and the Boys from 1994. Heavy D dead at the age of 44. As we continue down the 1117 news purge, desert skies, desert lights, and we reach murder and mayhem. And I was catching up on episodes of Red Ice Radio. RedIceCreations.com, one of the shows that I don't miss. I subscribe to a million podcasts just to collect and archive them all, as it is an amazing outlet of alternative, unfiltered media that you can get from all around the world in real time, delivered right to your podcatcher of choice. But they had a two-hour episode on Anders Breivik, the Norway shooter. And I was reminded, they referenced, again, in the drills that seem to happen with, again, every catalyzing catastrophic event, predictive programming and the drills. Remember, the bombing preceded the shooting, and this unfolded while we were live on the air. And we saw, oh, there's a bomb that went off in Oslo. Oh, then we see there was the shooting. We all now forget about the bombing that has all sorts of suspicious characteristics. But there was also a drill that immediately preceded the actual bombing. And there were reference to event dates of November 23rd and December 21st that were still yet to pass. So we do have an update from the BBC. Breivik, the Norway killer of 77, on 7/22, July 22nd, appears in court. And I believe one of the latest bits that we saw from him, if we glance back at the breaking news, we saw that he said he wanted to shoot members of the Labour Party. Down the murder and mayhem list, Charles Manson, quote-unquote, follower, i.e. murderer, Tex Watson, seeks parole for the 14th time. And yes, again, we reference Sinister Forces. Drudge Report tweeted about a black man charged with burning a cross on his own lawn. Meanwhile, Conrad Murray found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in Michael Jackson's death. Ex-employee opens fire at a FedEx building in Bedford Park in Chicago. East Carolina University lifts their found-to-be-unfounded campus lockdown. And the last murder and mayhem note is a video for you. We're not going to play the clip. You have to see it. A close call with a chainsaw on live TV. And we come to Obamasiah updates. Shooting suspect says Obama is the Antichrist. And as we watched it unfold over the few hours yesterday, the latest now is that White House shooting suspect has been charged with attempted assassination of President Obama. Oscar Romero Ortega Hernandez, found Wednesday in a hotel in western Pennsylvania after the U.S. Secret Service said it discovered a bullet hole in a window at the White House and another round outside the building. So we see also that Herman Cain stumbled about Libya in a recent GOP debate, and the latest we tweeted this morning is that now Herman Cain has received Secret Service protection. We now move to our Oregon oddities. I first heard about it from my man Zach, who you may remember appearing on episode 200 the first week this year on 2011. Got light? Learn more about Oregon Freemasonry at OregonFreemasonry.com. The Masons now advertising on the side of our public transportation on TriMet. We call the trains the Max. So the Masons are advertising now using the hackneyed GOT slogan. So we wish that one would go away, just like we'd also wish the use and abuse of the word literally would stop. But I digress. Continuing our Oregon oddity, survey asks 1,000 Portland women if they know what's in their makeup and hygiene products that they use every day. I saw this in the Oregonian, and I just naturally assumed that it was from the Associated Press or New York Times, but actually this is original investigative reporting from the Oregonian, Katie Muldoon, and somehow it was funded in a collaboration by the Oregon Environmental Council and Metro, the regional government that oversees many of the facilities and services in Portland, Oregon. And we posted this to facebook.com/mediamonarchy. That's the kind of thing to get out there to all those kind of folks. And again, that's we're trying to share information. There was a New York Times review of a film I had not heard of. It's called Letters from the Big Man, and it was shot in Oregon, and the photos look amazing, and apparently there's a Sasquatch in there. We throw one note from our own city's Portland Mercury. At Portland Mercury, police boot Occupy Wall Street with batons and all. That would be Occupy Portland, and we move to our police state updates from CBS News on the two-month anniversary. That would be yesterday, November 17th, at least 400 occupiers arrested nationwide. And as we look back in the week, we saw the coordinated crackdown, U.S. cities target protest camps, standoff in Portland. That is from Reuters, and the photos there were alarming. And I believe even last night in the city, there were more helicopters. And as all of this goes down, police trying to clear New York City Park of Occupy protesters, the end or a new beginning, MSNBC asked last week. And yes, they rolled out the sound wave cannons, the LRAD sound weapon at Zuccotti Park in New York. They tested them in Baghdad, they tested them in Fallujah, and they even tested them a couple years ago in Pennsylvania. But they are rolling the sound weapons out. As we had always said, it was always meant for us. A list of, and a slideshow of recent Occupy photos tweeted out from the Deutsche Press Agency. And what we reference on the latest episode of New World Next Week, I only read the quote and edited it. So here's the unedited quote where an Occupy protester calls for violence.
Up on the 17th, we're going to meet them niggas at the fucking stock exchange, and we're going to rock this fucking city. We're going to burn this shit to the motherfucking ground on the 17th. Yeah. Ain't no more talking. They got guns, we got bodies. They got bricks, we got rocks. Let's see what they got.
Now, you'll note at the beginning, as we have noted before, the chanting, the call and response chanting that has marked all the Occupy situations, as I saw here in Oregon on our march on the first week of October. But you'll hear it at the beginning that they're chanting along with him until they realize, oh, wait, what? They go, wait, I'm not going to chant that. Is this provocateuring? Everybody's basically bracing themselves for bad and worse violence in this situation to break out. Now, whatever misgivings I may have about Occupy is that it seems as just another show of the same style of things that surrounded the Obamasiah a few years ago, and we all like to rally around the latest thing, and oh, this will save me. Now, my own misgivings and cynical snark aside, that doesn't mean I want to see Homeland Security collude with mayors around the city in a systematic police state crackdown on these people using war weapons and macing women and children and old ladies and all the things we've seen in Portland and Seattle. Again, my man Zach, who told me about the Masons advertising on the side of TriMet. He has written a piece, Horton Hears an Occupation, and we haven't posted that up yet. But it's a thoughtful way to get into this. And again, on so many of these levels, I don't want to be so glib about all of these things that we go over and say, oh, well, they're dead. Oh, well, this is stupid. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. On so many levels, you got to go read and research and make up your own decisions, so to speak. Let's wrap up this news purge with the last couple of sections. The first being War Whores, and I saw this cover in one of the news stores in one of the airports we were in last week, and it's Time Magazine, and the cover story is called An Army Apart, The Widening Military-Civilian Gap. 45,000 troops are coming home to a country that doesn't know them. And what I said, again, cynically when I saw the photos, oh, Jesus, let's have them all come back and maybe not get the care they need for the things that they were put through, or perhaps what they were shot up with, what they were exposed to, emotionally or physically. But the UK is already ahead. Teachers out, and the troops are in.
The UK plans to get tough on gang culture by opening schools with tough army-like discipline. The measure was proposed in response to the riots that shook the UK last summer. And while the plan's authors believe discipline is key, critics fear it could actually alienate problem youths further. Ivor Bennett explains.
As the going gets tough, the tough get going. Army boot camps aren't the place to step out of line. It's this culture of self-control the government now wants to bring into schools. So it's calling on the cavalry, well, former soldiers, to swap the front line for the front of a classroom.
Following the riots across the UK, the government's fast-tracking troops into teaching as a way, it says, to restore adult authority. It wants to provide more male role models, even giving teachers new powers to use physical force as a way to control disruptive pupils.
It's not a bad thing for children to know where they stand. If they step this side of the line, they will be punished accordingly. If they stay on the right side of the line, they're in the confines of the law and they will not be punished.
It's a line few would dare cross with a teacher like this. Afan's going to be headmaster at a new school where every teacher will be a former soldier. Uniform inspections and military-style roll calls will be the polish of a strict routine.
When you can maintain discipline in the theatre of war, which is the most high-pressured situation, you can maintain discipline in a classroom in Oldham.
But with corporal punishment now a step closer, many fear it'll push an already alienated youth further away.
I think they would start building their own gang as they've done towards the police. Now, I've seen the police behave towards our kids. It's two gangs, isn't it? You could say the police are a gang. It would be the army against the kids. I think they would become more unruly.
This charity takes in problem pupils the state system chucks out and turns their lives around. According to teachers here, it's about finding the right kind of stimulation rather than just cracking a whip.
They become unruly because they're bored. Putting discipline in isn't the answer, just on its own. Discipline, yes, but actually making sure they've got something at their own level.
For this 16-year-old, that happened to be art. He was expelled from school after what he'll only refer to as an incident and is still too afraid to be identified. Back then, he was on course to fail all his exams, but after just a year here, he passed 14, a far cry from someone supposedly too disruptive to teach.
Now, this idea of bringing in more discipline for children in schools, do you think that would have worked for you?
Not really.
Why not?
Saying this class is boring because there's no talking, it's just strict works, so no one would be really focused enough. They wouldn't really want to go to the lesson again.
Individual attention was the only thing that turned this boy's education around, but with a system that prides itself on conformity, the battle could be only just beginning. Ivor Bennett, RT, London.
Well, the gang and the government, they're no different. Teachers out, troops in at UK schools, coming soon to a North American Union subdivision sector near you. U.S. set to end 20 years of bombing Iraq. And the Obama side gets all the credit as if he had something to do with it, as if this wasn't just part of the turning the page, if I can use that hackneyed phrase, that of course the elites are writing and we watch the front men that are the shadows on the wall and act like, believe that they're in charge of something. Our last War Horse note Special Operations Command says Osama raid book is a lie. From the Associated Press, an interesting one from Kimberly Dozier, the AP Intel writer. The U.S. Special Operations Command is calling a former Navy SEAL's alternate version of the raid that killed Osama a bogus work of fiction. It's just not true, U.S. Special Operations Command spokesman Colonel Tim Nye said. It's not how it happened. Laden with conspiracy theories and attacks on the Obama White House, Chuck Farrar's book, SEAL Target Geronimo, claims an alternative version of the raid in which the SEAL team shot bin Laden within 90 seconds of arriving at the Pakistan compound where the Al-Qaeda mastermind was holed up. Farrar claims the White House issued a fictional and damaging account of the raid that made the SEALs look inept. He says Obama's speedy acknowledgement of the raid was a craven political move that rendered much of the intel gathered on the raid useless. Farrar's account broke into the top 20 book sales on Amazon last week, and Farrar's appeared on Fox, CNN, and other venues to promote it, saying to the Associated Press, "I have truth on my side." Our last section on the 11/17 news purge is West Virginia worry, my home state, and what do I see in the paper? As we see everyone, of course, talking about the Penn State scandal, because it concerns sports. Everyone cares about it now. Interestingly enough, on the New York Times, there was a big photo when they were losing some game the other day. They had a sign that says, we are still Penn State. And it reminded me, oh, that's right. It's the 41st anniversary of We Are Marshall, the annual memorial service held to honor the 75 victims of the 1970 plane crash. We have news and links to the Washington Post, the MarshallParthenon.com, which is the newspaper from Marshall University, and this bit from WSAZ on We Are Marshall.
41 years ago, Marshall University lost most of its football team, coaches, and many supporters on a stormy November night. After saying goodbye to the 75, a major question surfaced. Do we continue the football program? Today, the Marshall community came together to remember those lives lost, and the keynote speaker, a member of the Young Thundering Herd.
In 1971, this was the guy and many other of the Young Thundering Herd who were instrumental in this program and this university and this football team having the success that it has had.
The tragedy has impacted all of us. But over time, I firmly believe that these impacts have been turned into positive testimonials for those who we now honor today. Always remember the kindness and the care of those individuals as they took care of us as students. They showed us the things that we needed, and it kept us here. Things that we needed, and it kept us here at the campus and at the university. I was recruited by Coach Tolley and Shorty Moss. I was invited to campus. We showed up here on a Friday afternoon. I have been fortunate to be here the 41 years and to be see the transitions from what it was like then to what it is now. And I tell you all, it's amazing. It is amazing what this university has come to.
Rick Meckstroth built a $30 million business, and it's called Huntington Homes since his Marshall days.
What I found interesting about all of this is, as we see, and as I tried to describe again at the top of this episode, what I try and do with Media Monarchy is see these copycat events, these clusterings, these memes that seem to happen and repeat themselves and reverberate, whether it's being let happen on purpose or is all unfolding coincidentally. We see the hand of sinister forces time and time again. Interestingly enough, we'll tie in a sidebar update that we referenced just a little bit ago. Our worst nightmare. OSU coaches die in Arkansas plane crash. The president of Oklahoma State University seemed close to tears as he called the deaths of women's basketball coach Kurt Budke and assistant coach Miranda Serna our worst nightmare. I don't know how to explain the synchronicities any more than just laying them out and trying to shine a light on them for you. So that brings it into our massive 11/17 news purge, which is called Desert Skies and Desert Lights. And we began it with Beachwood Sparks' Desert Skies, and we'll end it with Lansing Drayden's Desert Lights. Desert Lights from Lansing Drayden, and we are in the middle of episode 239 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's November 18th, 2011. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com. Moving into our sister sites in the media, Monarchy Kingdom, we were just discussing West Virginia, and that's how we'll continue in the sinister world of HolyHexes.com. From the Washington Post, in West Virginia, snake handling is still considered a sign of faith. For years, this tiny church in an unincorporated hamlet of 1,191 souls has been world famous for its death-defying handlers of serpents. Reporters, researchers, photographers, and TV crews have come here to track Pentecostals who brandish poisonous snakes, drink strychnine, and play with fire as a testimony of their faith. Each Labor Day weekend, the church has hosted a well-documented homecoming for snake handlers who believe that Mark, Book 16, verse 17 and 18, mandates that true Christians, quote, take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover, end quote. And this town is Jolo, West Virginia, J-O-L-O. Danny always said, church ain't ever till all the snakes are caught. Let's move to the 1117 Pop Culture News Purge with unsurprising scandals. Are you still shocked that organized religion and sports want to physically, spiritually, and mentally abuse your children? Well, you should stop being surprised about the Penn State scandal and learn about the Franklin cover-up. We link up Conspiracy of Silence, the documentary that was set to air on the Discovery Channel, never did, but thanks to the web, we have it now. And it was good to be able to blow some coworkers' minds when they couldn't stop talking about the Penn State scandal to bring up that front page of the Washington Times from 1989 that noted homosexual prostitution inquiry snares VPs within Reagan Bush, that the Penn State story is nothing new. Two officials step down amid Penn State sex scandal. That's from the Associated Press. Meanwhile, we see it's not anything new, and all of these things are connected, as we'll get into in just a few moments, as it's going to get sinister here on Holy Hexes. From Inanna Ops, Catholic Church's pedophile investigator jailed for kiddie porn. You can't make this stuff up. Another sex offender back in custody. GPS showed former priest near Los Angeles Catholic school. Chilean judge drops abuse case but says the priest was guilty. That's from the New York Times. Church clears former Boston priest of sex abuse claim. Meanwhile, in Boston, there are Catholic holdouts trying to hold off the archdiocese from moving in and taking over.
At this Roman Catholic church near Boston, a few diehard parishioners are going into their eighth year of around-the-clock vigil.
This is our church. We're keeping it. And we're not going anywhere.
The church was closed by the Boston Archdiocese in 2004. Yet some refused to let their home church die.
And I'm not going to let them do it. And I said, you know, I'm willing to go to jail. I've never been to jail, but I'm willing to go for this house. And it is the house of God.
Protesters say the Archdiocese is now stepping up efforts to get them out.
We've gone through with everything from furnace problems to leaky roofs to bad weather, hurricane, blizzards, and off the onslaught of sometimes not so subtle threats from the Archdiocese of Boston. We're going to shut you down.
The Boston Archdiocese says the church closures are due to declining numbers of clergy, fewer Catholics attending Mass, changing demographics, and financial challenges from an outdated model of operation. However, those holding vigils here say the churches were closed to save money after priest sex abuse cases cost the Archdiocese millions of dollars.
We said, no, you know, those are the problems that you created, and you're not going to use us as a personal piggy bank to pay for those expenses.
The Vatican has upheld the decision to shut down the parish in each case. Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
So that's in Boston, but the same thing is happening in Santa Ana, California. A federal judge on Thursday approved the sale of the glimmering Crystal Cathedral to the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange to help the financially troubled mega church emerge from bankruptcy. As above, so below. East Coast, so goes West Coast. Vice versa. Something is coordinated. Our last note on this 1117 Pop Culture News Purge of unsurprising scandals from the Huffington Post, a church sanctuary for the Occupy movement. But as we now get more into this Penn State scandal, and as we get into our other sites in the kingdom, I want to, again, put out a huge thanks to Alan and Eric for all their help on holyhexes.com and cyberspacewar.com, keeping all of this news very timely and up-to-date as we were out of town last week. Pedophilia represents a grim degeneration where men can't help themselves and think they can get away with it. The Penn State scandal is only the latest version to rear its ugly head. Paul Drockton writes in the article Penn State and Boys Town Cover-Up Similarities. It's important to recognize other interesting connections in this story, parallels where authority seems to back corruption. Wendell Courtney legally represents both Penn State University and the Second Mile charity founded by Jerry Sandusky, the alleged perpetrator. Ray Gricar, G-R-I-C-A-R, who was a prosecutor in 1998, allegations against Sandusky with a 10-year-old boy disappeared in 2005 along with a hard drive from his computer. A similar loss of legal recourse occurred when private investigator Gary Caradori died in a plane crash while investigating the scandal that engulfed the small Franklin Credit Union. The Caradori death sounded a death knell for the investigation, which involved interstate transport of Boys Town children. The Franklin Cover-Up, the book by John DeCamp, first revealed perhaps the most sordid incident in American history. And Drockton may be right about the wider scandal and possibly illicit trade with young boys as the commodity. The Franklin Cover-Up is the book by John DeCamp. 2 years ago, Trine Day Press out of Oregon put out Nick Bryant's The Franklin Scandal. And the second part of this story on Sandusky being possibly part of the pedophile network. Writer Hayden Fox asserts this in the article Sandusky Part of Illuminati Pedophile Network, that there are many more out there like Jerry Sandusky, the alleged child molester in the current Penn State scandal. In a recent Macau.com article, Fox writes that, quote, the scandal may just be getting started. Undisclosed allegations implicate Sandusky in a massive homosexual pedophile ring. Powerful Penn State sports donors may be investigated, and that list includes powerful politicians. The Penn State scandal is now part of a worldwide Illuminati pedophile network where powerful homosexuals prey on vulnerable youths. Fox provides excellent summary how the worldwide pedophile network is slowly revealed through successive scandals. And you got to read the whole article to get the whole sordid history. Although we have been burned by Macau.com before, but as we'll say on all of these notes, again, linking does not denote endorsement. We're trying to give all types of avenue to, again, break this information down. What will the Pope say to the voodoo leaders?
The Pope is getting ready for his upcoming trip to Benin, which will mark his second trip to Africa. According to organizers, the Pope will arrive on November 18th and will leave on the 20th. It will be a short trip, but also very symbolic.
The Pope is going to Benin for the whole of Africa. He's not just going to Benin for Benin. He's going to Benin for the benefice of the whole of Africa. So my answer to your question is the Pope is going both to Benin and to the whole of Africa.
During his meeting with bishops, the Pope will sign an apostolic exhortation. It's a document where all Catholics of the continent are called to engage in reconciliation while also promoting justice and peace. The text was done after African bishops met back in October of 2009.
Deeply down, Africa needs, I would say, more reconciliation than even, let me say, food and water. Because we do have potentially food. We have a lot of water potentially. But we don't have the conditions, the environment that we need to create in order to enjoy it.
The Pope's trip coincides with the 150th anniversary of Christianity in Benin. In his trip, he'll also honor Cardinal Bernardin Ganton, who died 3 years ago in his native country of Benin. That cardinal was the only person appointed to a high-ranking post by John Paul I. He was president of the Pontifical Council of Coronum and the Congregation of Bishops. He was also dean of the College of Cardinals from 1993 to 2002. At the age of 80, he returned to his home country, where he died in 2008.
Now, what they don't reference in that clip is that Benin is thought to be the birthplace of Vodun, or Voodoo. Continuing on, holyhexes.com, satanic sex ritual results in teenagers' 300 stab wounds. A teenage male traveled by bus from Arizona to Milwaukee a week ago, believed to be lured by the promise of sex, to suffer an estimated 300 wounds. The smokinggun.com characterized the encounter as a satanic sex ritual. From the Telegraph, author claims the curse of Tutankhamun murders were actually done by Aleister Crowley. Six mysterious London deaths famously attributed to the curse of Tutankhamun were actually murders by notorious Satanist Aleister Crowley, a historian claims in a new book. Incredible parallels between Crowley and Jack the Ripper have also been discovered during research by historian Mark Bainon. Throughout the 1920s and 30s, London was gripped by the mythical curse of Tutankhamun, the Egyptian boy king whose tomb was uncovered by British archaeologist Howard Carter. More than 20 people linked to the opening of the pharaoh's burial chamber in Luxor in 1923 bizarrely died over the years, six of them in the capital. At the time, a frenzied press blamed the curse of Tutankhamun for the deaths and speculated on the supernatural powers of the ancient Egyptians. But Mr. Bainon has now drawn on previously unpublished evidence to conclude that the deaths were all ritualistic killings masterminded by Crowley, an occultist dubbed the wickedest man in the world. After unique analysis of Crowley's diaries, essays, and books, and inquest reports, the armchair detective argues that he was a Jack the Ripper-obsessed copycat killer. In Mark Bainon's new book, London's Curse, Murder, Black Magic, and Tutankhamun in the 1920s West End, was published this week by the History Press, Mr. Bainon pins seven deaths on Crowley, six of which took place in London. And we ask, are serial killers a fiction to provide a cover for Satanism? John Wayne Gacy grew up in the same Chicago area neighborhood as Robert Ressler, an FBI architect of profiling serial killers. It is too coincidental that Anne Rule worked alongside Ted Bundy. A video series called Program to Kill, Satanic Cover-Up, dares to ask the question, as Henry Lee Lucas said, no one wants to believe the cult story. And of course, part three of the series heavily implicates the military, as many of our so-called serial killers, if not almost all of them, are from the military. Rosemary's Baby, The Occult Manifesto in Year One of a New Eon, was the 1968 film Rosemary's Baby, directed, of course, by Roman Polanski, an occult manifesto. VigilantCitizen.com rewards readers with insights into the movie's symbolic implications in the article Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby and the Dark Side of Hollywood. If we weren't running out of time, we would continue to go into this. Another new novel, this one called Divina Insidia, The Divine Trap. Does it reveal Satanists milking the masses for centuries? It all becomes very clear. These families have been milking us for centuries. We are quite literally their cattle, i.e., Goyim. So, we'll make a reference to Kabbalah, the why of life, as we provide links to knowledgefiles.com and PDF articles for you to learn more about Kabbalah and Gematria, Hebrew numerology, the art of finding meaning and equivalence of words and phrases throughout numbers. If you've seen the film Pi from Darren Aronofsky, you kind of know a little bit about it. Survey says, fewer Democrats attending church. From BeliefNet, the gap between Democrat and Republican churchgoers has widened, according to a new Gallup poll. Link for you. The new report shows that 52% of Democrats seldom or never attend church. Democrats who attend weekly dropped 2% from 29 to 27% since the first quarter of 2008. The survey digs deeper into the demographics of Democrats in America, reported Paul Stanley for the Christian Post. I guess he must have quit the band Kiss. Finding they're becoming less white and more liberal from a similar sampling surveyed in early 2008, allowing political scientists to see how the Democrats have evolved since President Obama has occupied the White House. Add that one to the list of used and overabused words. Finally, on holyhexes.com, church leaders accuse banksters of losing their moral moorings. From the Telegraph, the Church of England has launched a fierce new attack on bankers, accusing them of greed and having, quote, slipped their moral moorings, end quote. A series of senior figures stepped up their attack on the city in an assault that comes a week after the church refused to evict protesters from outside St. Paul's Cathedral in central London. They spoke of a financial sector which sets a moral tone for a society which had become scandalously unfair. In other news, pot calls kettle black. And we reach cyberspacewar.com as we're going to have to blast through it as we log on to the 1117 DEF CON and ask the question, shall we play a game?
David Lightman was a master at computer games, a fast thinker.
Oh, David! Maybe you could tell us who first suggested the idea of reproduction without sex.
Your wife?
Get out, baby.
And a promising student.
Hi.
An old game.
Hi.
With an electronic twist.
Those are grades?
Yeah. I don't think that I deserve an F. Do you?
Go to jail for that.
Only if you're over 18. This computer company is coming out with these amazing new games in a couple of months. And I want to play those games. Wow.
What?
We got something.
He found the right code word to play the game.
We're in.
But it was the wrong computer.
Shall we play a game?
How can I ask you that?
How about global thermonuclear war? Sorry. All right. Trajectory things for multiple impact re-entry vehicles.
How's that, man?
I don't know, but it's great.
All stations, this is Crystal Palace.
What if I should use my subs?
22 Typhoon-class submarines departing Petropavlovsk.
What in the hell's happening here?
Oh, my God.
Shall we play?
A7, correction, 8. That's 8 Redbirds.
Get on the sack. Tell them to flush the bombers.
Russians are still denying everything, sir.
Who are you working with?
Nobody.
I don't have to leave here.
Today we have Soviet missile warning.
Based on your risk pending indictment for espionage.
Espionage?
Confidence is high. I repeat, confidence is high.
Overdated. This is an exercise.
Negative. This is not an exercise.
Meet the president on the horn.
They're still playing the game. It's going to start a war.
Close up the mouth.
Is this a game or is it real?
War Games. Playing soon. At a theater near you.
Shall we play?
A strange game where the only winning move is not to play, or don't play no game that I can't win. We begin cyberspacewar.com from the register.co.uk, where U.S. General says we are cleared to cyberbomb enemy hackers. Meanwhile, Federal Times reporting that the Senate to debate cyber legislation in 2012, but right now, SOPA, S-O-P-A. Stop Online Piracy Act. What is the SOPA bill, and why is it causing such a ruckus? Discover Magazine breaking it down, but eWeek out of Europe reports WebSense predicting an explosive 2012 for cybercrime. Diaspora co-founder Ilya Zhytomyrsky passes away at the age of 22, and I believe it is suspicious. Diaspora is a social network you may or may not have heard of before. The IDF and Mossad and Shin Bet all back online after a day of computer malfunctions. That's the other one from Haaretz that we mentioned to you earlier. U.S. satellites compromised by malicious cyber activity. That's from ABC News. And finally, from Wired, six guys in a capsule, 520 days on a simulated Mars mission. Moving through cyberspacewar.com from the New York Times, Google X in the lab of wildest dreams, in a top-secret lab in an undisclosed Bay Area location where robots run free, the future is being imagined. It's a place where your refrigerator could be connected to the internet so they could order groceries when they ran low. Your dinner plate could post to a social network what you're eating. Your robot could go to the office while you stay at home in your pajamas, and you could perhaps take an elevator to outer space. These are just a few of the dreams being chased at Google X, the clandestine lab where Google is tackling a list of 100 shoot-for-the-stars ideas. If you have been a listener to this show for any amount of time, you know we've reported on all of these things to you before, from the space elevators to the Internet of Things, and it won't just order more groceries for you when you're running low. It'll keep track of your carbon credits as it will be connected to the smart grid and the green grid. Continuing on cyberspacewar.com, Cyber Command wants more authority for cyber wars as the cyber noose is tightening. General Keith Alexander, NSA and Cyber Command Chief, advised an Omaha, Nebraska audience at STRATCOM about the need for more authority to defend ourselves in cyberspace. And, of course, they've already given it to themselves. Meanwhile, the Dooku virus strikes Iran. Is this the continuation of the U.S. real-created Stuxnet? Facebook equals CIA databank. Are you surprised? No, you're not. And you can learn more, again, from henrymaykow.com. The SDO, Solar Dynamics Observatory Online and Interactive, is fascinating. Death Stars. And History.com gets into the universe and the Death Stars and Betelgeuse and more of the Wolf-Rayet-class stars. We've got Phobos. We've got Phobos Grunt Space. We've got sunspots facing the Earth for 2 weeks beginning November 8th. A few more days to go. Technorati getting further into that as the YU-55 flyby happened. Again, all of those drills, all of those space events, the Pacific quake, earthquake, all of those things internationally that we covered last 2 weeks ago on episode 238. We've got a Dawn mission update, and we've got Dragon Space. China has a tracking station in Australia, and one of the articles we missed, because at this point in the show we're flying so fast it's tough to keep track of all of it, but going back to November 4th on cyberspacewar.com, manned ISS flights look better after a successful Soyuz launch. And there was an amazing time-lapse video of the International Space Station flying over Earth where you could see the amazing auroras that are now suddenly going further and further south. Finally, my friends, we reach foodworldorder.com, and we'll begin with the 1117 Binge and Purge, Standards and Success. Is pizza a vegetable? Well, our corporate Congress says yes, and they were pushed to say so by the food corporations. As we get into it, from ABC News and the Los Angeles Times, and pizza as a vegetable.
The Obama administration has been pushing for healthier school lunches, and now some food companies and members of Congress are pushing back. Eyewitness News food coach Lori Corbin looks at some of the proposed changes that could affect what your kids eat.
2 or 3 years ago, we didn't serve hardly any salads in the district. Now we're serving thousands and thousands every day.
LAUSD's Deputy Director of Food Service has been tweaking their menu for years. And First Lady Michelle Obama's heading a crusade to fight childhood obesity by getting kids moving and eating better. But a proposed congressional bill would undo some of the standards set in place by the Agriculture Department. Standards like restricting sodium, limiting starchy vegetables like French fries, adding whole grains, and boosting produce for school lunches.
Obviously, I have a little one, and I would hope that they would get as much nutritional value into any meal.
Parents like Stephanie Trotter, concerned about these proposed changes put in place by frozen food manufacturers and potato growers who supply schools. They've lobbied Congress to halt efforts, claiming new standards are too strict and noting the government's overlooking the nutrients that potatoes and other starchy veggies offer. Reminiscent of the Reagan administration calling ketchup a vegetable, there's a bigger food fight concerning tomato paste. Currently, the USDA calls 2 tablespoons of this pizza sauce a vegetable. The Agriculture Department wants to put that up to a half cup, roughly 4 tablespoons more, and limit corn, peas, and French fries to 2 servings a week.
They do need to change it a little, but not take so much away from them.
Some argue the government shouldn't dictate what children eat. Others say changes would be costly and burdensome. Last month, the Senate voted to block the potato restrictions, while House Republicans urged the USDA to rewrite the standards. One parent's message to Congress?
Allow for the changes and hear from the parents and advocate for healthy lifestyles.
The latest version of the bill blocks or delays all newly suggested changes. Lori Corbin, ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
Congress released a new spending bill last night that changes President Obama's plans to make school lunches healthier. The new bill keeps French fries on the menu of school. It delays a requirement to boost whole grains, and it calls the tomato paste on pizzas a vegetable. The changes were requested by food companies that make frozen pizzas and by potato growers.
Continuing the 1117 Binge and Purge on Food World Order, sharp increase in the food stamps program. More on that from Economics with an X. UK food firms welcome waste reduction success. That's from foodmanufacturer.co.uk. Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future, files for bankruptcy. That's from the Wall Street Journal. And Rhode Island says, raid your pantry for holiday food drives. From the Associated Press, a new U.S. Department of Agriculture report says sales of local foods, whether sold direct to consumers at farmers markets or through intermediaries such as grocers or restaurants, amounted to $4.8 billion in 2008. USDA says locally grown food, a $4.8 billion business, and you better bet your booty that they want a piece. Our final bits on foodworldorder.com is a two-parter. First, celebrity chef cooks his favorite pretentious foodie meal.
Gourmet chef Ted Allen is here. He's the author of the new cookbook, Pretentious Foodie Bullshit, and he's going to show us how to cook some fussy little foodie dishes for you and all your asshole friends. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so let's get started now. What sort of stupid, over-elaborate, fancy-ass meal are you going to make for us today?
Well, we're going to cook one of the very most pretentious dishes in my cookbook.
Oh.
It's a stupid-ass, trendy piece of fish coated in some kind of nut you've never heard of, served alongside a puree of baby something or other.
Oh, great. That's annoying.
Let's get started.
Okay, have at it.
First, it's very important to choose the most expensive type of fish you can find for some vague environmental reason that you can then pair it back to your faux intellectual gaywad dinner party guests.
Okay.
And now I assume all these other ingredients are organic and locally sourced and all that bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Your dickhead friends think that's really important.
Mm.
So here we have some freshly ground cob nuts.
Cob nuts? Ooh, just the sound of that name makes me furious.
It is annoying.
Yeah.
Well, I processed the nuts using this vintage mortar and... Actually, you know, I think I'll spare you the details. Suffice it to say, it took way longer than necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just gently dredge your fish in your crushed cob nuts.
Oh, see, I'm getting furious all over again.
And then, you just cook your fish for 3 minutes aside.
Now, what about the pureed baby turnips, Ted?
Ah, you must blanch them for 30 seconds, then you shock them in an ice bath. Peel them, then boil them again with a little sugar, thyme, and a pinch of salt. Then put on a blindfold and see if you can taste the difference between these and boiled turnips straight out of the can.
Oh.
You won't be able to.
So you mean all of this is just an enormous waste of time?
Yes, it is. It really is. I mean, to hell with this shit. Let's just get some real food.
Let's get to our top story in Washington today. Looking to jumpstart the country's fiscal recovery, President Obama has turned America's economy over to Blake Morris, the man in charge of Zico coconut water.
The president agrees that it basically tastes like ball sweat. But you can't deny the simple fact that this stuff is absolutely everywhere. Anyone who can sell this garbage by the truckload obviously knows how to bring in capital, and we're confident Mr. Morris will steer the country into solvency.
Oh, my God. It is everywhere, and that's why I love The Onion, because it has a knack for busting on the trends that I see where I work at a grocery store here in Portland, Oregon. U.S. turns to makers of foul-tasting but successful coconut water to turn the economy around. And that's going to do it, my friends, for this jam-packed Back in the Saddle Again, episode 239 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's November 18th, 2011, and my name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups, and so very, very much more. So many things coming out of our Twitter feeds at Media Monarchy. Navigate Netflix and pump up the volume. And as the New Mexican memes seemed to follow me all around when I was back at work, I found myself singing an Arctic Monkey song saying, I'm going back to 505, and my friend Matt said, hey, that's the area code in all of New Mexico. And it was, or at least mostly. And that's how the synchro mysticism goes, my friends, and that's how we're going to leave this episode 239. Once again, James Evan Pilato, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, my friends, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
I'm going back to 505. If it's a 7-hour flight or a 45-minute drive, in my imagination you're waiting, lying on your side with your hands between your thighs. Stop and wait a sec. time I checked.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Nextweek video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes and so much more. Send news clips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether you did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.